Welcome back, murder friends, to
Under the Influence of True Crime. That's Kate, and she's telling our story.
Which means that's Em, and they're under the influence.
Dun, 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 dun.
And today, we have a lot to say.
We have so much to talk about.
So many things.
One thing in particular that I screenshotted and was going to send to you, and then I was like, it's so funny that I needed to tell you on while we were recording. So after last week, oh, hold on. Before I tell you about that, happy Tuesday.
It's Tuesday.
I love that for us.
I also love that.
I feel like it's lucky.
It is lucky. And I am celebrating today.
And Bones or No Bones is back as of yesterday. So
oh, shoot. You know, in a bad news thing that we should add, Pot Roast passed away.
So did Dip the guinea pig.
This is...
in this like the same week.
Okay, in more positive news, I know we know Bunny the dog and how she can communicate via buttons. We've now found Justin Bieber the cat.
Fabulous.
And he also can communicate with buttons. And when I say he's more direct, I mean it. He comes up and he'll go, food, mad. And she goes, oh, you're mad and want food?
Okay.
Like the now button, love now. That for him. My mother has figured out how to post TikToks of the goats. I'll send them to you. Don't worry.
Fabulous.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so posted last week's episode a couple days ago. I'm like on our shit, just checking, seeing if we have any new ratings. And the 2-star rating is gone.
We did it.
We did it, folks.
We bullied them off the internet. It means though. It was one of you bitches. Which one of you did it?
It was one of you motherfuckers. So whoever rated us 2 stars is still listening, which I think is hilarious.
Honestly, though, thank you for having changed your mind.
They didn't change it to 5 stars. They just deleted it.
Okay, it's in limbo. Maybe they're still deciding. I don't know. I'll take it.
We're an acquired taste, as we've learned.
Tom said it first, so.
Maybe it was Tom. Okay, mm-hmm. Listen. Do you have your funny tweet of the week before we get into the rest of my business that I have?
Oh, no, please.
I have a good one.
Yeah, I was like, start. Let me pull mine up.
I'm really excited because I feel like we have the same sense of humor and very similar, like, Twitter timeline. One of these days, we're going to bring the same tweet of the week.
It is exciting to think, isn't it?
Mine is hilarious. So it's a tweet and then a screenshot, and the tweet says, I literally cannot take online dating anymore. How is the guy going to be insane about a Starbucks date? And the screenshot, have you seen it?
She was like, let's go out to Starbucks. And he was like, yeah, I just don't think this is going to work out.
Yeah. Okay. So she texts him, hey, it's Colleen from Hinge. And Matt says, hi there. Colleen says, you said you were free Thursday. I was wondering if you'd like to grab a cup of coffee at Starbucks and maybe get to know each other a little better. He sends 3 follow-up messages. Starbucks ? ? Yeah, I'm not sure this is going to work. You seem nice and all, but I have standards. Obviously, you don't. I'm trying to build a vision and work towards the finer things in life. And that starts with people on my same wavelength. Starbucks just fucks up the vibe.
I saw
it and I was just like, what the fuck is, what is this life that we're all living right now?
All right. I've got 2.
Okay. I love that.
One about children or one about old people. It's not really old people. It's just kind of like your pick.
Old people, because then it's going to transition into a story I'm going to tell you that I'm going to cut out.
It's not really old people, as I said. Every time I get a gray hair, I remember that one of my stem cells is like, the working condition here is awful and I am done. And I respect that from a labor perspective. Management has created a toxic work environment. I am management.
I've seen that one. I love that. That's funny.
Okay. I think that's all of our business. I don't think we emotionally can take
anymore. I have two true crime businesses.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So it'll be quick. Which one we don't, I'm not going to talk about one until there's more to talk about, but there's been movement in the Susan Powell case. Have you heard about this?
No.
Which we haven't covered Susan Powell yet, but she's definitely on both of our lists because we've like, it's an insane case and like, it's obvious what happened. But if anyone familiar with the case, they had like they had an idea that like her remains would be found in the bottom of a mine, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for the longest time, they weren't able to look in it because there was a wooden structure over the mine. But recently, that structure has fallen.
Gasp.
And so they were able to like kind of look, and some remains have been found and some articles of clothing. There was like specifically like some bone fragments and like some dress pants, which Susan's sister may have has said that that may belong to Susan. And there was like some other articles of clothing and things in there. Those bones have been sent to different experts. And one expert said like, oh no, it's animal bones. And the other one was like, no, it's not.
Oh, so do you leave dress pants with your animal bones usually?
Yes, I sure do. Thank you for asking. So the bone fragments are being sent for some DNA testing. So like, hopefully there's going to be some movement soon.
Yeah.
So I don't know how long that takes, but like, that's honestly exciting.
Get Noodle on the case. He's a bone expert.
Noodle on the case. He's a bone expert. That was fabulous. Good job.
Thank you.
Good job.
All okay. Right.
Oh, my missing person. Hold on. Last thing before Kate gets into her story, we have our missing person of the week, which is from Alabama. Her name is Victoria Green Moore. She is 32, and she was last seen April 7th, 2021. At 7:30 a.m. when she was dropping her children off at their daycare in Selma, Alabama.
Oh, wow.
I lost it. Victoria is 5'7". She's a Black female, and she weighs about 140 pounds. And if anyone has any information, they can contact the Selma Police Department at 334-874-6611. And as always, we will post her picture on our Instagram.
Yes, absolutely. Awesome. Well, I'm glad that we got missing person out there for you guys this week.
All of our business. So
finally.
Finally, leave me alone. I have a lot to talk about.
In other news, I'm making tiny books. That's my business.
Yes, I love that.
That's all I've got for you guys.
My business is I'm having tiny heart attacks just all the time.
They don't feel tiny. Mm-mm. So today we are going to be actually talking about Brenda Spencer. Who is that? She is.
Her name sounds familiar.
The Garfield of school shooters.
That's why that name sounds familiar. Oh,
Brenda, I don't like Mondays, Spencer. Yes, indeedo.
Damn.
Buckle up, kids.
Damn, we're really giving them a 1-2 punch. Damn.
Listen, I've had this case half written since before Christmas. I don't know what you want from me.
Shit. All right.
It was before we decided to do holiday episodes. If you remember, mm-hmm. It was the last case we decided. We talked about it that long ago.
Yeah.
Anyway, for this week, I just want you to know, though, by the way, I didn't have very much written. When I say half of it, that's dramatic, because I opened it thinking, I have half of it written, and it said, trigger warning, Brenda Spencer was born. Like, it was literally a blank trigger warning, and then I didn't even have a full fucking sentence about this woman. It literally wrote, trigger warning, Brenda Spencer was born. And I was like, apt, end of episode.
Finn.
So anyway, for your trigger warning this week, everyone, it is school shooting.
She was born.
Brenda Spencer was born. School shooting, gun violence, death, brutal, shooting at kids, suicide talk. I don't know what else you guys want from me.
It's bad. It's just simply, it's bad.
If you think that kids are going to get shot at, you're right. Anyway.
You would be correct.
Yes. This would be a yes on the SAT. Okay. So, trigger warning, Brenda Spencer was born on April 3rd, 1962 in San Diego, California. She was born to parents Dot and Wallace Spencer. She had two siblings. One of them was named Teresa. Good question on what the other one's name was.
Right. Imagine being those siblings.
No. They don't want to. And they didn't even live with her in her, like, youth. So, like, right. I don't really know what kind of, like, relationship they even truly have. If they chat, if they're, like...
Are they prison pen pals? Or...
Are they besties? Yeah, like, do they have, like, bracelets? I don't know, like, friendship bracelets, you know what I mean? So, Brenda lived at home with her dad in a house that... Yeah, it wasn't a great environment for
it's
a child.
It's not good.
It's not good.
You know,
it's not good. It's not good.
It's simply bad, yeah. I would say.
Especially for a child. They shared a mattress on the living room floor. And that's a little awesome. Like, as
isn't
a
there
team.
Some, I don't, isn't there like some suspicion that like.
No, kind of, but later.
Okay.
No. Okay. So it's not great. I mean, as a teen, you know, even as like a preteen, I wouldn't really
even just anyone older than 7.
Yeah. I was like, I shared a room with my dad as a kid. So I don't know. Cause we had like a little house. So like, but I was less than 7.
Right. Exactly. 7's the age.
Obviously, you know, that's not ideal that they were still sharing a mattress when she was in high school.
And like, it's like, also like, it's not just that like, it was a weird situation. Like the house was disgusting. So like,
truly, it was foul. And when I say like, when I keep hammering down on that point, I more mean it in like a, like if you're in a developmental age and you have absolutely no privacy, like you have absolutely no space that's your own, that can't be good for you as a person who's trying to become a person.
Right, exactly.
That being like, said,
especially when you were obviously already having issues.
Bro, literally, when you hear the, anyway, the police definitely talk about how it was foul inside. They said that there were empty alcohol bottles strewn about everywhere. The house was described as impoverished. And honestly, it's not really clear why Brenda didn't live with her mom and her other siblings. Like, there wasn't anything that was like, why?
Right. So was there a bedroom in the house? Like, there would have had to have been a room somewhere, right?
If there was, I'm not sure what they used it for. Because like I said, they had this mattress in the living room. And they both slept on it. And the mattress in the living room is going to be relevant later because Brenda utilizes her surroundings.
Yeah, she sure does. She is
MacGyver. So Brenda was an extremely talented photographer. She won first place in the Humane Society competition that she entered. But overall, she found herself really, really uninterested in school. Which, you know, it's fine. If you want to be an artsy kid and not fuck with school, that's fine. Em hated school.
Listen, it's not so much that I hated school, it's that school hated me.
So like I said, she found herself not interested in school itself, which would have been fine if that was all she did. But here we are, and it's not all she
did. Like, school's not for everyone. Like, you could have just gotten through it and then, you know, found something that you're interested in.
Just, like, drop out, bro. If you're that uninterested, like, just go vibe somewhere else.
It's the 70s. Do whatever you want.
That's what I'm saying. So teachers at her school often had to badger her to stay awake during class because she was like, nap time, my guy.
Just let her sleep.
Honestly, I don't understand why teachers get so mad. Like, why do you care? Just leave her alone.
Yeah. I get, like, they're obviously having something going on at home.
And the teachers are like, no. So later her mental health tests during her incarceration would reveal that she had had an injury to the temporal lobe because of a bicycle accident that occurred when she was a child. Does this affect anything? Who's to say? Is it interesting to note? Yes, it is.
All I'm saying is if your kid gets a brain injury, send them back.
You're done. Friends and family that described Brenda said she was known to hate the police.
Same.
I literally wrote, Em is going to say relatable. LOL. They said she had spoken of shooting a police officer one day and doing something really big to get on TV.
Oh, God.
I think those are weird goals to have.
Like, being on TV, on everyone's bucket list. Wanting to kill, like, murder people to get on TV?
Specifically police officers.
Not a good idea.
Weird flex, but okay. So in 1978, while Brenda was at a facility for truancy, staff informed Brenda's parents that she was very suicidal. In a foreshadowing event that same year during the summer, Brenda was arrested for shooting out windows of Grover Cleveland Elementary School with a BB gun. And she was also arrested that summer for burglary. So it's not really clear what she was.
She was definitely the kind of kid who should have had a BB gun.
Yeah, she was troubled.
That
same year in December, a psych eval that her probation officer insisted on suggested that Brenda should be admitted into a mental health hospital for her depression. But Brenda's father refused.
Of course he did.
Okay. Just a few weeks later, for Christmas, he gave Brenda a semi-automatic 22 caliber with telescopic sight and 500 rounds of ammunition. Merry Christmas. Merry Chrysler.
Like, it's almost as if that's not what every suicidal teen girl who wants to kill police should get for Christmas.
In a devastating quote from Brenda, she said, quote, "I asked for a radio and he bought me a gun." When they asked why they thought he'd done that, she said, "I felt like he just wanted me to kill myself."
Oh.
So, like,
oh.
That's awful. I know that Brenda did something not awesome. Okay. We're not going to argue that. But the fact that any child had to be made to feel that way, especially from like a parent, that's harsh. That's
right. Especially when like it's not like her dad isn't aware of the issues that she's having.
Literally. Like they told him, they were like, "Your daughter wants to die." And he was like, "Here's a gun for Christmas." Like, sir, for what? Right. She asked for a radio. Like,
right. Like you don't like. This is like when it's the hard, because it's like you don't want to blame the parents, but at a certain point, she was given the tools necessary to carry out this crime, and she wasn't given the help that she desperately needed, and that like adults in her life were trying to get for her, and then the people that should have been taking care of her weren't. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you feel bad for the kid who she was, but you don't feel bad for the murderer.
We always say that. We feel bad for the kid, not what they become. Yes.
Exactly.
And so, like, this to her, him wanting her to kill herself, it made sense to her because he'd blocked her admission into the hospital to treat her depression, which she says is something that maybe could have stopped what happened. Which, you know, we never know, but it is interesting.
Right. Like, there's nothing saying that, like, it would have, like, completely fixed it, but it definitely couldn't have made it worse.
Truly, yeah. So the incident of note occurred on January 29th, 1979 in San Diego, California. Brenda Spencer started her Monday by propping her rifle that she had received for Christmas as a gift from her dad at the window. She pulled out the 500 rounds of ammunition he had given her as well and turned towards the elementary school that she lived across the street from.
That is such an overkill amount.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Like, that is, especially for a child, and, like, you obviously aren't living in, like, you're...
The rural area. You live across the street from an elementary school. Like,
yeah, like, you're not living in a place where that's necessary by any means.
We're from, like, a podunk bullshit town, and you getting, like, 500 rounds of ammunition, even in our town, would probably be a little bit, like, overkill, unless it was like
right like
season,
like right, like if it was like for a purpose, but just for funsies.
So okay. The school that she was in front of was Grover Cleveland Elementary, which you should remember as the school she got arrested for shooting the windows out of the previous summer. Like, girl,
right?
So Principal Burton Ragg, who was 53, was unlocking the front gate when Brenda took her first shot at student Cam Miller.
Mm.
When she explains why she chose Cam for her first target, she explained Cam was wearing her favorite color blue.
That makes me not want to ever wear the color blue ever again in my whole life.
She shot and killed the principal, and she shot teacher Daryl Barnes while they raced to help the children from her onslaught. They were, like, diving over these kids. They were pulling them out of the way.
Like, just trying to protect them. And
they were, like, shielding these kids. They were like, she is not going to get a kid. And she did manage to kill custodian Mike Sugar, who was 56, while he was pulling children out of her line of fire as well. So that's two down that she did get. A police officer was also shot in the neck while responding to a call for assistance, but the police were able to move a garbage truck in front of her house to block her line of sight and stop her from being able to, like, shoot any more shit at the school, you know?
Right.
In total, Brenda managed to wound 8 children after she started with 9-year-old Cam. No kids were killed, but she did kill the 2 adults who were trying to save the children's lives.
Who were just, like, yeah. Like, doing everything in their power to protect these, like, little innocent babies.
But I think, and I know it's heartbreaking because those 2 did pass away, but they literally died doing what they they were trying to do, which was
right.
Make sure no kids died. And
it definitely could have been, like, I don't want to say, like, oh, it could have been so much worse. Like, but there could have been so much more damage.
So much more loss of life. Just the fact that, like, it's awful that these two gave their lives up for this. But, like, the fact that they were like, you know what? I'm not letting a kid go out on this. It was just,
right. And the fact that they were able, the fact that they were able to jump into action immediately, because
so,
like,
quickly
now it's like so fucking normalized, which is awful in a discussion in and of itself, like that school shootings are so normalized. Everyone just knows what to do. This is the fucking 70s. No, this was unheard of. No one knew what to fucking do.
Yeah.
Like the fact that they were able to step into action and effectively and quickly
get those kids out of the way.
And lessen the damage as much as possible, you know? Like, that's mm-hmm. impressive itself.
Yeah. So Brenda was able to fire 30 times before she barricaded herself inside of her home with her mattress. That little...
Like, she was planning on she had intentions of shooting all 500 rounds, it seems like.
So the theory is that she did not plan on going solo. You know what I mean? She wanted to go down in a fight. The thought process was that
right.
some people think that she was, this is such a horrible thought, but that she was too scared to do it herself.
Right.
And that this was like easier, which is just awful and not at all something that should, anyway, but it is.
Right.
So she barricaded herself inside with the mattress. It lasted for several hours while police attempted to get her out with, you know, no more casualties. She did end up speaking to a reporter while she was blocked inside of her house. And I love how this reporter got through the phone. This is just the power of the 70s. You guys will love this. So the San Diego Union Tribune had been randomly calling telephone numbers in the neighborhood when he managed to get a hold of Brenda.
Oh.
So he was just like calling. He'd be like, Brenda? And they're like, no.
Boop.
Brenda?
No.
Boop.
Brenda? Yeah, what up? Why would you want to be the first person to talk to her after this?
Because he was like, bro.
Gotta get my story.
That's nuts. And she told the reporter that she saw it at the school because I don't like Mondays and this livens up the day. Well, kick rocks, Brenda.
Go fuck yourself, first of all.
Literally.
You know, I don't like July.
Well, you should shoot somebody about it.
What the fuck are you going to do about it?
Are you not listening?
You've got a 1 in 7 chance of it being a fucking Monday, ma'am.
1 in 7. So later she would also tell police negotiators the children and adults were easy targets and that she had planned to come out shooting. And these statements would come back to bite her in the butt so hard because she'd be like, I was like not with it. And they were like, oh, really? Because you said this fucked up stuff after. And she was like, I was a little with it.
I was a little with it.
She tries to be remorseful and shit, but then at her hearing, she'll get like smacked with like a quote from herself. And then she'll be like, ah, yes, I am an asshole. And it's just like, it's fun to watch her be an all-around shithead, you know?
Like, oh, I don't remember saying that. Oh, you caught me saying that? Okay, I may have said it, but like in my defense, I don't like Mondays.
She was like, Garfield was right, bro.
Garfield was right.
Mondays suck and lasagna good.
Lasagna do be banging.
She did end up surrendering and leaving the house. But apparently it was literally because she was promised Burger King.
I remember this. Yeah. They're like, hey, bro, you need to come out here and like you need to surrender.
She's like, I would like a hamburger first.
Like, okay, get it, girl. But like, what?
I don't understand at all.
Also, like, props to whoever was like in charge of that negotiation. Of being like, how about some fast food, Brenda? You seem like the type.
They went, do you like Burger King?
May I interest you in some chicken nuggets?
Okay, so she was promised a Burger King Whopper.
What a bad brand for Burger King right now.
I know. Because I was like, I will be looking up the meal that she ordered, but I don't think she got to order it. I think they were like, we will give you one Whopper for coming out. And she was like, yes.
Deal.
So she was pulled from the house and police found beer and whiskey bottles cluttered up around the house. But they did say Brenda did not seem to be intoxicated at all while she was arrested, which she would try later. Brenda's sentencing would look at her as an adult, and she did plead guilty to the two counts of murder and assault with a deadly weapon, which is good because she was guilty. Her sentencing would occur on April 4th, 1980, just one day after her 18th birthday.
Oh,
she was Brenda. Sentenced to 25 years to life because baby's an adult now.
Yeah, should have just, you know, give her that whole life and call it a day, man.
Just move on, yeah. I really She's like it alive. When they do two life sentences or, like, do as many life sentences as the people you kill, like, get that many.
Oh, I really love it when they're, like, 50 life sentences plus 200 years.
Those are good, too. So while in prison, Brenda would be diagnosed as an epileptic, which means she suffered from seizures. She also received treatment for her depression and medication for her epilepsy. So,
which it sucks that it came to this for her to get any sort of help. Yes. Like, because it could, I just like, I have a hard time feeling like this couldn't have been avoided.
Well, it's because if somebody would have like listened to fucking doctors and psychiatrists right. and probation officers. Oh, wait, it's her dad who was a dickbag.
Yeah. Where the fuck is her mother during all of this?
Unclear. Yeah, I was like, there is nothing. Her mother says the girl had always been a good child. No, she didn't.
Well, Brenda's mom, you were not there.
So she was incarcerated in the California Institution for Women in Chino, California. While she was incarcerated there, she worked on repairing electronic equipment, apparently. Her eligibility for parole would not begin until 1993. But her likelihood of actually getting parole is laughably small. Like, it's yeah. bad. By 2015, she'd already failed her appeals four different times, with the reasoning being that Brenda's a fucking liar.
And she fucking shot into a fucking building full of little babies.
Well, yeah.
Some of them didn't even have kneecaps to run away.
She starts her first hearing saying she was intoxicated with drugs and alcohol when she fired nope. and that she had hoped police would shoot her. Drug tests done at the time showed that this was not true.
Brenda, you are not the father.
Literally. Her second hearing in 2001, she claimed her dad had been abusing her sexually and physically with beatings. Her dad said that wasn't true. I mean, not that he would admit it. But the board of, like the chairman's board said that since she hadn't told any staff about it, he really doubted her claims. Like, she hadn't said anything in all of these years, and then suddenly when she had a parole hearing, she was like, this is what right. happened.
I, like, there was definitely, regardless if it was physical or not, there was definitely abuse happening in that home.
Emotional, and, like, bro.
Exactly. Like, yeah. And just being, like, completely not cared for, you know? And yeah. like, I just, it feels icky that they were sharing a mattress as a 17-year-old.
And that's why this is one of those, it's not really fair, but in all honesty, it's icky, even though there doesn't seem to be a lot of supporting evidence.
Right. Like, either way.
It grows vibes.
I mean, nothing that's, absolutely nothing that's fucking happening is good or okay. Like, absolutely every aspect of this case is just such, like, what the fuck?
It's grotesque. Yes.
Yeah. Like, and it's just.
In 2005, the district attorney cited an occurrence of self-harm that happened when Brenda's girlfriend, gay.
Oh, Brenda? She's a little.
Was released from prison. You'll like this story. Okay, so Brenda's girlfriend's released from prison, okay? And now here's some discrepancy.
Okay.
The true thing is that Brenda definitely carved a couple words into her body.
Into Brenda's body or into the girlfriend's body?
Nope, Brenda to Brenda.
Okay.
Which is, do we want one of her? They're citing it as self-harm. She is citing it as expression. So here we go. He said that this showed she was psychotic and unfit to be released. The self-harm that they're talking about was when Brenda etched or scratched, we're not really sure of the depth here, two words into her own skin. The official claim was that the words were courage and pride.
Oh my God.
But at the parole hearing, Brenda corrected that statement. It said unforgiven and alone.
Those are vastly different. Those are so different.
So very different.
Also, the word etched, like you etched it to your skin, makes me like,
I just don't know the depth. So I was like, I don't know if it was a scratch or if it was a carve, you know?
It makes me feel like the first ones are correct because Brandon is very like a, you know, she seems like she would be like, oh, I wrote alone on my arm because I'm so alone. Shut the fuck up, Brenda.
I thought it was hilariously dramatic. Regardless of what she wrote, it made me laugh.
I wonder what the girlfriend was in prison for. Do we know?
We don't know. I mean,
interesting.
It obviously wasn't anything as long as Brenda because she got out.
Right. Also, I don't feel like scratching into your own skin makes you unfit to return to everyday life. I think shooting up an elementary school, it kind of does that for you.
Oh, you're always looking at the past. We're looking forward.
We're looking forward. And in the
future
present,
is we live bright, in the moment. My guy. That's why they call it the present, because it's a gift. In 2009, she was once again refused, and they said that they were just tired of looking at her dumbass and said that she could not try again for 10 more years.
Good.
They literally were like, we're done. We're done seeing
you. I don't want to look at your dumbass face in my courthouse ever again, Brenda.
I hope I'm retired. Yeah. So in 2021 of August, she was still at the California Institution for Women. She was eligible for parole in September of 2021, but for some reason, she voluntarily waived her hearing for a year. So she actually should be expecting a hearing this coming September in 2022.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I mean, it's just important to note that Brenda's not very old, my guy.
Yeah, because like she was 18 when, almost 18 when it happened. Like, I guess I didn't, like, I understand it wasn't really that long ago, but ideas was hoping
60
she
years
was,
old.
Oh, I don't like that.
Brenda Spencer is foul, everybody. A saga.
I just, every single time, like, a disgusting person like this is, I'm reminded that they're alive. Like, BTK is still alive right
now. Stop doing that. We've talked about this. I'm tired of you telling me about this. Dennis?
I hate it.
I hate him. What state does he live in besides denial?
Kansas.
Foul. Note to self, don't go to Kansas.
Like, I just, when people like this are still alive, I'm just like, why?
All right, that was all I had for this case. I hope I ruined your guys' day.
Fuck Brenda.
No, she suck. Big sucks.
Fuck Brenda. Jesus.
Yeah. Don't like shoot kids.
Yeah.
Saga.
Props to the, you know, to the guys who she killed because
Principal
like they were
Rag and Custodian Suker.
Thank you. They like, they did the damn thing.
You guys were amazing. And that's, this episode is for you guys.
Fuck exactly. Brenda. Fuck Brenda. Damn.
She suck.
Yeah, she does. Well, good job, buddy.
Thank you.
Shit.
I hope you guys don't hate me too much after that.
Don't worry. Next week's not going to be good either.
And I hope you guys know we laugh to get through the pain.
Truly. So. Just so we can sleep after this, because that's where that's what we have to do next.
Yeah, I was like, I got to wash my face and go the fuck to sleep.
True.
I got a face routine.
I just don't wash my face. I just go, thank you so much for listening. You can follow our Instagram.
At Under the Influence of True Crime.
You can join our Facebook group.
At Under the Influence of True Crime.
You can follow our Twitter. I tweeted the other day.
At Under True Crime. It was funny. I saw
you. Thank you. You can send us an email.
at undertheinfluenceoftruecrime@gmail.com or at undertruecrime@gmail.com.
And you can rate, review, and subscribe.
Anywhere you listen to your dang podcast, you silly ducklings, get on it.
Get on it. We're going to post some stuff.
We do this shit for free. The least you could do is send us like a thumbs up or something. Gosh.
Truly. God damn it. Thank you to whoever resented your 2 stars.
Honestly, no. You'd put the universe back in order.
And you can join us right back here next week for some more
spooky tales. Adios.
I literally don't know what you're saying to me.